You are now tuned in to DAR Sports Media, and we are going to have a little bit of a confusing schedule this week because of the way things are falling into place with our recording schedule. We want to give you guys the best and brightest, most topical conversation that we possibly can. So therefore, NBA Hooping and Hollering Playoff Edition will come at you on Saturday. So we got all of the matchups set and ready to go. And it'll be rolling right in. You can get your hoops in, your hoops analysis right before the games start on Saturday. That means that me and True will be coming at you with Weekend Wrestling probably Friday or maybe Saturday morning. We're still working on that because we got guest spots on other shows that we got to fulfill because, like I said, the world of DAR never stops. Boop, episode over. No, I'm joking. Tonight, a little bit early in the week, we're bringing you our NFL pod, our last group. I'm not sure what way to go about it, bringing this up or discussing it, but it is interesting, and it's cool to me because it shows that maybe we're getting a little bit away from cliches and people being placed in boxes, that now we have, three black quarterbacks who are going to go in the top 50. We've also got a white wide receiver, a white running back who are going in the top 50. And a white corner for the first time in probably today's entire life. he might now. There's some thought that he might end up moving to safety, despite the fact that he was a top level corner for Iowa, despite the fact that he had a fantastic athletic test last week or a couple weeks ago at the campus of Iowa. I've always said, I've joked around, but I'm kind of not joking around. I feel like if he goes to a team with a white defensive coordinator, they're going to go with the cliches and they're going to put him at safety. I think if he goes to a team with a black defensive coordinator, they're going to be there. The only color that they care about is green. We're trying to win. I think they'll let him play corner. But that's just what I've observed over the years. That they are more willing to let people step outside of boxes that people place them in. And I think that's what will happen. But that's just one of the many storylines around this defensive back class. Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, towards the top of most draft boards. Terrion Arnold, just a lockdown for Alabama this last year. Really clean prospect. A little bit on the slower side of what you want to see from your number one cornerback in the class that could be a top 10, but played at Alabama. Great coaching, great fundamentals, fit right into that defense. Nate Wiggins at Clemson, ultra fast, ran in the 4.2s, 6'1", everything that you want out of a corner prospect. Love his game. Kool-Aid McKinstry, a guy I've been hearing about for at least 3 years. Multi-year starter at Alabama. Compelling mix of talents. There's just no doubt this guy's going to show up, be a day one starter. Really like him. The 87, 86, 85 grades go 10 deep in this class. It's a very good defensive back class. And this is without going into our guy, Cooper DeJean. Interception machine, super productive at Iowa. Locked down, held his own against Marvin Harrison Jr. I think it's insane to talk about moving this guy to safety. I feel like I don't see how you could see that as anything but people playing into cliches. But it'll be what it's going to be. Tay, thoughts on the defensive back class? Who jumps out to you? What do you like?
My number one corner is definitely Quinyon Mitchell. Some people have questions because he went to Toledo, but I've seen it work multiple times. Like, I feel like he has the athletic tools. Like, he was the second fastest corner behind Nate Wiggins, which I'll talk about in a minute. Just very balanced defender. Like, there is no, like, you can get man and you can get zone out of it. He can tackle. Like, he doesn't have any deficiencies. So if you just need a corner in general, like, just do anything, I feel like you draft Quinyon Mitchell. Like, I would say he can go as early as 8. to the Falcons, you know, if they want, you know, if they're not trying to go elsewhere. But yeah, like I said, I think Quinyon Mitchell is the best corner. And I like Kool-Aid too. Kool-Aid definitely fell. Like, beginning of the season or beginning of the college season, Kool-Aid was a top five projected pick. And he slipped because of his athletic profile. Like, he's not the fastest. So a lot of times, a lot of scouts and stuff don't really like, you know, non-athletic player. Like, I would say he's athletic, but compared to other corners in this class, he doesn't have the speed like others, you know, the acceleration like others, which is okay, because if you know the position and you understand it, that's not really an issue, you know. So I think Kool-Aid McKinstry would be pretty good in this league. He should get drafted in the first round, late first round, no later than that. Not really a fan of Nate Wiggins. I know he ran a 4.28, but it's just a lot of – I see a lot of – I have questions. He's 6 foot, 175, very light. It reminds me of Emmanuel Forbes. He's very light, and he doesn't play the ball. If you're light and you don't play the ball, that sounds
to me
be, like
– You can't be both.
it's
light and like, not play the ball. Yeah,
the speed is great, but you can be as fast as you want. But if you're light and you don't play the ball, it sounds like you get bullied. Like, Nate Wiggins is going to get drafted. He'll get drafted high, probably to a team that needs a corner. He'll be the cornerback one, guarding wide receiver ones every week. It just seems like a disaster, especially going against even moderately strong wide receivers. It just seems like it's just a poor matchup. Especially because he doesn't play the ball. Now, if he played the ball with his light frame, I would see it, but it's just the combination of you being light and also not getting physical, not like, you know, no interceptions, no batted ball, stuff like that. Like, it just seems like you match up against AJ Brown, you're just gonna get dominated. Like, that's personally what I see when I just look at, you know, the build. Yeah, like, this, that's the speed doesn't help you in that sense, you know. And then the tackling too. I just have a lot of questions about Nate Wiggins. Nate Wiggins is very high because he ran a 4.28. That's it.
I strongly disagree with that with Nate Wiggins. As a Florida State fan, he's a lockdown corner.
And Florida State, they cooked him. Johnny Wilson cooked and Keon Coleman. They like, those are two big receivers that are bigger than him. You can't do nothing with that.
Well, on the season, he gave up a 44.6 passer rating.
And Clemson ain't play no – they ain't see no good receivers. When they did, they saw Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman. They caught every, they both had 90-something yards. They had five catches each.
I disagree. I think Wiggins is probably the best corner in this draft.
No way. Not with the defense. He has three deficiencies. Right.
Mark it down.
Three deficiencies. He's light. He does not play the ball, and he does not tackle. He's probably the worst tackler. He is the lightest corner, and he out of ball skills, probably at the bottom. It's just nice.
Cooper is nice. So is Kool-Aid. Like, it's a deep cornerback class. Like, I don't think you can go wrong with any of these guys. But I think you're selling Wiggins short.
I'm not. I'm just being honest. Like, okay, if you don't play the ball and you're 175, how many wide receivers are 175?
How do you feel he doesn't play the ball and he, like,
he doesn't? It's not how does he feel? I've watched it. He doesn't play the ball. That's one of his weaknesses. Does not play the ball. Like to go up and get it, he's just too light. It's not gonna be there for him. All these receivers are 200. There's some, but
he can start off in the slot and then work his way up.
Oh, definitely not in the slot. Oh no, I wouldn't recommend that at all. I don't think a team's gonna draft the slot corner that high too. Especially, like, I don't know. I don't see it. Something has to change. Something has to change. Whether he puts on 15 pounds, something has to change. He has a lot of deficiencies. Like, he's just, it's just,
athleticism that's making him be drafted this high. That's how I see it. Like, he ran that 4.28 and he just skyrocketed. Yeah, he was cool. He was solid. I don't know.
What do you got? What do you got, True?
Nah, I mean, I lean a little bit more to X, just off of what I've seen. Like, obviously, I haven't been fully invested into the college football this past year. I try to catch what I can due to my situation. I try to catch what I can, but I liked some of what I saw from Nate Wiggins. Obviously, you know, everybody's gonna talk about his, you know, what his 40 was, but I still felt like he, I think he has promise. I do agree. I think Tay, you said Mitchell was the best defensive back, right? I think that's what you said. I do agree with you on that. I still think Nate Wiggins has a high upside, but I think it's kind of clear. I think Mitchell to me is by far the best. But I like Kool-Aid too, man. I like Kool-Aid too, man. I watch a lot of Bama games because, you know, some of my people's like, you know, like Bama, especially being down in the South. People always got the Bama games on at the bar. So I like Kool-Aid too. I mean, Arnold's I think amazing too, but I would go with Mitchell. I still think Tay is selling Wiggins just a little too short. I get why, because I do agree he has a couple of deficiencies and stuff, but I think he'll adjust well. I think he'll adjust well. Maybe not that first season. You know what I mean? Like, maybe not that first season might be a little rough, but I see upside in him, and I think he'll adjust to the NFL well. I don't see any reason for him not to. I think he has all the tools, and he has the speed, which I think can kind of override some of those deficiencies you're speaking on. So once you get to the NFL, it's a different game now. It's a much different game in the NFL than it was, say, maybe 10 years ago. This is a different game, so I think he'll be fine. I do have a sleeper, but I'll wait for that.
Well, I was just about to go into it. Maybe a sleeper, or like who do you guys like that's not you know, talked about in this top five, top six? Go ahead, True.
So I haven't seen the rankings, so I don't know where he's at. But my guy, I believe it's Kamari Lassiter from Georgia. So this is one of my actual close friends. That's his little cousin. So I am completely biased. I'm completely biased in that. But I still think he has good upside. I've, you know, known the kid for a long time. So I absolutely I think he's a sleeper. I think he's not the fastest, but I think he puts in the work. I've seen that. And so I believe people are gonna sleep on him because he's not the fastest and he hasn't you know, he hasn't excelled completely, but I think he did a hell of a job at Georgia, especially next to Javon. So I would love to see what he does in the NFL. And like I said, I'm rooting for him. So it's a bias, a little bit of bias for me, you know. But
it's Kamari Lassiter. He's actually ranked 8th. Not the biggest, not the fastest, but great instincts, great playmaking ability. It's very, very clear that he's a professor of the craft of playing corner, and still plays. You have to be, for a guy to be, you know, only 6 foot 185 and be running about a 4.6, but still be out there locking people down on the perimeter. You have to be an expert of the craft. And that is the Kamari Lassiter book right there.
Yes,
guy's a film junkie, very instinctual, just damn good at the game. And so I'll take that for sure. Tay, got a favorite?
Favorite?
That's not in the top, you know, 6-7.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like Kyrie Jackson from Oregon. All my sleepers are from Oregon. I don't know. Kyrie Jackson.
I never think there's anything wrong with that. You know, people say, oh, you know, for instance, whenever it's your favorite team, and for instance, people talk about with me and the 49ers, you with Oregon. But to me, like, what team do you know better? What team do you know more intimately? What team have you probably watched more tape on than anybody else has? So I don't think there's anything wrong with you giving us sleepers from Oregon.
I like Kyrie Jackson. Just off of size alone, like, because there's a lot of head coaches and scouts and stuff that just, like, they just feel as though if you have the build, they can work with you. Like, for example, like Tariq Woolen,
Just how the Seahawks been building their defense for years and years. They don't take the best. They take the most, like, they take the biggest
the guys who have the traits they like. Yeah.
You know, they don't take the best guys. Like, yeah, like Tariq Woolen, fifth rounder, I believe. 6'4", and one of the fastest guys in the class. That's it. Wasn't all that good in coverage, but, you know, they just take guys like that. And coach him up. And I think Kyrie Jackson, 6'3", 200 pounds, got some of the longest arms out of the corners. I mean, like, I just, with the right coaching, that could be a great corner, you know?
I'm going to do mine before maybe Axe steals it. TJ Tampa out of Iowa State.
I knew that.
Damn near 6 foot. Yeah. Damn near 6 foot two. 4.45, the most physical corner, possibly the most physical defensive back in this class, whacking the shit out of people on top of the speed, on top of the size. I'd love me some TJ Tampa. Fingers fucking crossed. We can get him into some red and gold, some scarlet and gold next season. Love TJ Tampa. Axe, who's your favorite / sleeper?
My sleeper is Mike Sainristil from Michigan. Like, even though he's 5'9", some people may be deterred by that, so he might not go high. But he could be a slot corner. The fact that he was getting sacks and a lot of interceptions, being a ball hawk, come off some corner blitzes, can cover guys, things of that nature. So, you know, a day two pick potentially. So I got him as a sleeper.
I love it coming off the corner. We love guys like that on the Niners coming out of the slot. Absolutely. So I love him as a nickel. I'm right there with you.
You don't think that's like dead though in the NFL? Like, I feel like there's no 5'9" guy. I feel like you gotta be at least like 5'11".
In the nickel. In the nickel, there is. Like, nickel and dime package. There's different storm formations.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, one last point, the cornerbacks are definitely productive as soon as they come in.
Yeah.
You know how, like, receivers kind of are? Like, cornerbacks come in and they, like, immediately are locked down. So
that's true.
I'm expecting that.
Sauce definitely was the king of that renaissance. Up next, going through some linebackers. We already kind of covered Dallas Turner. On the last one, our first true linebacker prospect, still got an 86, almost 87 grade. 6 foot two, 230, low 4.5s. Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M, followed by Junior Colson, 6 foot two, 238. Both of them thumpers, both of them dynamic, high motor, elite quickness guys, both playmakers for big programs. Like them both. Linebackers getting a little bit, it's more and more devalued. So not sure if we'll see him probably in the 20s, if that. Two guys I'm very, very interested in. Peyton Wilson out of NC State. Mega numbers, mega high ceiling talent, injury concerns, injury history. 6 foot four, 240. Ran a 4.42, whew, and showed it in games when he was not hurt. And of course, I'm going to round this out with the son of a legend, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. out of Clemson. Not the biggest, not the fastest, but goddamn, he's a team captain the day he steps on the fucking field. He's a team captain down there at Clemson, big time playmaker the whole time he was there. I think he'll fit right into a team and be productive. What are your guys' thoughts, linebacker class? What sticks out to you, Tay?
Yeah, like you said about Peyton Willis. I think Peyton Willis is just the best linebacker in here. 6'4". Like, it's just – I just feel like there's an advantage being at 6'4 over the other linebackers. I think that is the tallest. There is some other 6'4 linebackers, but there's no other linebackers running – 4.43. Like, it's just an elite athleticism. Like, some corners don't even run that fast. Like, that just shows, like...
Yeah, there's guys in that corner class we just talked about who didn't run that fast.
Yeah, there's some people that didn't even run that fast, you know? So, just having that alone, it just makes you more comfortable with you in pass coverage. You hitting the gaps, making tackles in the line of scrimmage, just stuff like that. So, yeah, I definitely think Peyton Willis has some late first-round potential, kind of like Jack Campbell last year. Junior Colson from Michigan, 6'2", 240, is also solid as well. That's probably the second-best linebacker, in my opinion. He's very well-rounded, like not a specific skill set. So, you know, if you want a linebacker that can just do it all, you draft Junior Colson. Not the fastest. 4.58 is solid because there's a lot of linebackers that do run in 4.6s, like Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Another one, 6 foot, 4.6. That kind of scares me, being 6 foot.
I was like, about to say, is that the next ACC player you're going to hate on?
It is. I don't know. Like, 6 foot, it's just so short. Because a lot of times his assignments are going to be tight ends. Sometimes tight ends are, they don't come shorter than 6'4". So, and then you run a 4.6. So it's like, his pass coverage was good in college. Yes, I get that. But there's not, in college, there's not many tight end prospects. Like, it's kind of like, to me, tight ends are kind of weak. It's not even really a position in college, if you ask me. It's not that many teams that really use tight ends outside of Iowa. But yeah, I don't know. 4.6s, I don't know. It just kind of makes you a little limited, in my opinion. But yeah, like I said, I definitely think Peyton Willson, even with injury concern, I think you should take
a flyer.
Yeah,
Max, thoughts on the linebacker class.
Peyton Willson had 138 tackles and 3 picks and 6 sacks last season. That just shows the versatility. So, yeah, I'm a fan of him. I actually like Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I understand what you're saying about the 40 time, but just seeing his instincts and how he would attack the gaps, his IQ was smart. He didn't make a lot of mistakes. He wouldn't be out of position. So I wouldn't overreact to that time. I think with Jeremiah Trotter, you're getting a steal. Wherever you draft him at, I don't think he'll flame out or anything like that. He's a great player. It's some good edges as far as, like, what I've seen on the board, like with Turner and Boswell from Bama. But, yeah, like, it seems like it's a decent class for linebackers. Doesn't seem like that's the strongest position, not compared to the D-line and the corners. Seems like everywhere on defense, linebackers might be the weakest, but I don't know. I think he's just going to get good edges here. I don't know if he's going to get many game-changing linebackers outside of potentially Willson or Jeremiah Trotter Jr., in my opinion.
Yeah, out of the initial glance, it looks like, you know, starting quality true linebackers, probably 4 at first glance. Obviously, there could be sleepers that'll come later. Fred Warner was famously a 6th-round draft pick. So they could, but at glance, it looks like there's only 3 or 4 guys who you think you could throw in as starters this year. True, thoughts on the linebacker class?
To me, the person that I was looking at the most was Junior Colson. I know everybody's been talking about Peyton Willson. I think he is probably – I think, to me, those are 1 and 2. I know you guys talking about Jeremiah Trotter as well. Everybody I know personally has been talking about Dallas Turner for the last however long, and they're really high on him. I guess I'm high on him, but I'm not, like, as high on him as everybody else personally, just off of what I've seen. Like, but I saw a lot of Bama games. But I do agree with Axe. I do think this is, like, on the defensive end, I think this is, like, the weakest position in the draft. You can look at some other guys that aren't ranked, you know, that don't have the highest rating in this linebacker class. And, you know, like James Williams and Cedric Gray and guys like that. You know, I don't think those are game changers. I don't really think anybody's a game changer for defense. Peyton Wilson is probably the only one. Junior Colson are those are the two that I look at and I see that could potentially be game changers. A little bit on Jeremiah Trotter too, but I'm not as high on him, I think, as everybody else personally. And I don't know. I would just say Colson and Peyton, but you know, I would like to be like wrong Colson about
a lot of played as a true fresh played as a true freshman, 3 years of production at Michigan, in the Big Ten, two-time Big Ten, all Big Ten honors. Good coverage. You know, he does everything right that you want a linebacker to do. So I'm glad you mentioned him because he's ranked high up there. Is one of the guys that has starting potential, but we didn't really talk about him that much. And you're right on. He does everything that you want him to do. He might not be, you know, Pro Bowler top five, but he definitely has the tools to be a solid starter.
For sure. Like I said, the classes are, like I said, Axe is kind of on point. Like it's not like the weakest class, but it is a little bit weaker than everything else, especially I think compared to the defensive backs, it is a bit weaker. But you know, thing about the draft is that you can't look at what these guys have done and automatically say, okay, this is a game changer. Like you could go down the list and a lot of these guys end up being a lot better, you know, a lot better. So, you know, there's a couple guys that I would look out for, but you know, for the most part, like I said, those couple names, those are the ones that I see that stick out right now, but it's a whole different game. And, you know, you can elevate yourself and get better as time goes along. So, There's no guarantee that any of these guys are gonna turn out to be, you know, like maybe Junior Colson doesn't turn out how I expect, or maybe Peyton Wilson doesn't turn out how I expect. Maybe, you know, Javon Solomon or, you know, Tyron Hopper ends up being the one who, you know, becomes the next legend. It's the thing about the draft, man, you just don't know. Until you watch it, you know. Don't know. I was about to actually comment on what Tate just said in the chat. I was about to comment, and I realized we're not doing basketball or football. So,
I was gonna ask a prospect that interests me a lot, because it's interesting. Small side didn't test out very well, but the tape was really good, and very very instinctive in coverage. Tell me a little bit about Tatum Bethune, their Axe, Florida State guy.
He's very good as far as like in the run game. Pass game, he's a little bit suspect, but like run game and blitzing, very good. Really, really needs improving the pass game though. His pass coverage is very suspect. He's a sure tackler though. Like he's really physical, good at getting downhill, good at reading the holes and everything. Like he's not really out of position, but he doesn't really have good coverage skills. That's it.
Another guy to kind of keep an eye on. He's a 4.45 40 guy, 6'1", 234. Richard Gibnor out of Troy. Fast in pursuit, great closing burst. was a 4-star guy coming out of high school. 35 tackles, good coverage. Had 19 QB hurries, 32 pressures, 9 sacks. So that could be because Gibnor he's not ranked especially high, but tested out really well. Really good numbers, very productive. It was at Troy, but that could be a possible steal in a name to remember going into day two, day three, for all your teams picking there on the back end. So that is our draft coverage for this season. Hope we put out the names there. Hope you guys know the names to look for. Look through the channel. We've got it all there. We, of course, will be coming to you with a special playoff edition of Hoopin' and Hollerin' coming up on Saturday, right before the playoff games kick off. So be on the lookout for that. And of course, be on the lookout for us every Monday at 9:30 on the United Football Media YouTube page. we put together a wraparound coverage show for them on the United Football League, XFL, USFL. They combined. Spring football is thriving. We have a great time putting on that show. So please check us out on the United Football League, United Football Media YouTube page, 9:30 every Monday. We'll be back and better than ever. This is, as you can see from all of the crazy scheduling, all the places we're going to be guests, all the places that bring us in, the world of DAR never stops.